Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Working Triathlete Podcast. Before we get started, I wanted to offer an introduction to this specific podcast. And in it, Kurt Lockhart of Transformation Lab and myself, we speak with Lexi Kelson, who is a dietitian for Precision Fuel and Hydration. So Precision Fuel and Hydration is among the most respected and scientifically driven endurance fueling companies in the business. We partner with them and proctor sweat testing for athletes and really anybody who wants to know the sodium concentration in their sweat. And in this podcast, Kurt and I, we speak with Lexi about why athletes should pay attention to the details and how they can really optimize a personalized fueling strategy for themselves when they're training and racing. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast. Hi, everyone. Today we are speaking with Lexi Kelson. So Lexi is a registered dietitian for Precision Fuel and Hydration. So she is an expert on all things sweat, electrolytes, and just fueling for endurance athletes and athletes in general. She runs a sweat test center out of Atlanta and travels around the country testing and consulting with athletes and sports teams, like various MLB teams and other sports teams, about how they can optimize their fueling and hydration to maximize performance. So Lexi, welcome. And can you, I know I introduced you a bit, but can you elaborate a little bit more on your background?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So like you mentioned, I work for Precision Fuel and Hydration. Sweat testing is a huge part of my job, is really looking at the sweat sodium concentration of athletes. But before I got into kind of that whole world, I came from the complete different background, doing journalism and music of all things. And, you know, had a little bit of a mini career in those areas and then decided to go back to school because I had developed a really strong just love and interest for sports nutrition. Used myself as a lab rat in the gym to try out different things, became a personal trainer, and then just dove into a master's degree for dietetics and thankfully was able to tailor it kind of more towards the sports performance side of things. Did that degree program, sat for the dietitian exam and, you know, thankfully passed that one. And then started working with Precision Fuel and Hydration about a year after. And it's been pretty cool to get to work with a variety of athletes. So, you know, in all sports, whether it's baseball, tennis, we've got ultra runners, a lot of endurance sport, just because of the nature of losing a lot of sweat and electrolytes, it tends to go hand in hand with these endurance athletes. Triathlon, getting to kind of be at some of those events and work on sweat rate strategies with athletes, tailor their nutrition kind of to their race plan, really putting those practical pieces into place. So yes, you've got all these evidence-based recommendations and everything, but how is that going to play out on your actual race day? Helping them kind of work through that. And then really looking at the data afterwards and saying, what can we do better next time? What worked, what didn't work? And how can we take what we learned from that experience and create some educational content to promote to athletes on a wider scale? So yeah, I wear a few different hats with the company, and it's a really cool industry just to be a part of, and I feel like I learn a lot every day.
Yeah, at the Transformation Lab, you know, it's really interesting to see like the broad range of athletes that we get, you know, coming in our doors. And I feel like even though I was working historically on the supplement side of things, it's almost like hydration and electrolytes was the forgotten piece of the puzzle there. You know, we always want to talk about maybe bigger and trendier things. But you know, over the last few years, I've seen a lot more out about hydration strategies and testing. So could you just talk a little bit more about, you know, the importance of replacing electrolytes and as well as the fluid and carbohydrates when you're working with athletes?
Yeah, so Precision Fuel and Hydration, we kind of boil it down to the three big levers and the three foundational elements of performance nutrition. So, you know, like you said, it's fun to focus on the cool, shiny new objects and the, you know, trendy things. But when it comes down to it, if you don't have the basics down, what are you doing? You got to start somewhere. And that's the really important place to start to build your foundation. And that comes down to what we believe is fluid, sodium, and carbohydrates. Fluid is looking at the amount that you're sweating out, and that can change based on the conditions, the intensity of the workout. The second one is sodium. So within that fluid, you're losing electrolytes. 85% of those electrolytes are coming from sodium. So that's going to be the one that we want to focus on replacing if we're taking the big moving pieces there. Sodium is involved in nutrient absorption in the gut. It's involved in the neurological side, cramping. You can feel super like dizzy and fatigued if you're super low sodium. Affects your blood pressure both ways. So that's kind of another key nutrient that we want to replace if we're losing a lot and those sweat losses are mounting up. The third pillar is going to be carbohydrates. Within sports, you know, you think about, okay, yes, carb loading, I'm going to eat my pasta dinner the night before. That's a piece of it, but carbohydrate during exercise is pretty significant. And it's been cool to watch the research continue to show that and even show that depending on your tolerance level and how you've worked to train your gut, like it is muscle as it is, you can tolerate more and more than maybe we thought prior. We used to think that it capped out at 60 grams per hour, but now we're seeing athletes that are well above 100 per hour and performing at their very best. Granted, they didn't get there overnight. They took time to train their stomach and slowly increase. And that's one of the things that we get to do with athletes is really implement a strategic slow moving gut training protocol. So by the time they get to that key race, they're comfortable with that 100, 110 grams of carbs per hour. So they can, you know, utilize that as a fuel source because the body wants fuel to keep doing these incredible athletic endeavors, and carbohydrates is how we deliver that fuel.
You mentioned a little bit about, you know, the different ranges and for carbohydrate and potentially sodium consumption. And I remember, you know, 7-8 years ago, the prescription as it relates to, you know, carbohydrate consumption, say during a race or a prolonged bout of exercise, yeah, the carbohydrate recommendations and the sodium recommendations, they do seem to be lower than kind of what they are now. And so it does seem like we collectively realized, wait, athletes can actually consume more carbohydrates, probably sodium, maybe a little bit more fluid than before, if we get the ratios right. But even beyond that, you know, especially with the athletes we work with, we really try to dial in their personal plan as it relates to fluid, electrolyte, and carbohydrate consumption. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the advantages of having a personalized plan, and maybe the different ranges that you see when you're advising athletes, you know, endurance athletes or any athlete, about their fueling strategy and how individualized it can be?
Yeah, I really firmly believe in the individualized approach to nutrition, and not just saying that as, you know, part of Precision Fuel and Hydration. That was kind of my MO before getting involved with them. And it really, you know, we think about like a restaurants that we go to. Chipotle is my favorite example. They got it right way before we started getting it right with sports nutrition, because you get to customize what you want. Everyone's going to want something different. You've got all these different components. Everything is a factor. Not everyone's going to have the same combination of 15, 20 different ingredients in their life. So why not let someone create what works for them and what they want preferentially, but also what their body needs on that day in that situation? So I think applying that same create your own concept to sports nutrition is so important. Everybody's different. We're coming from different backgrounds. The race might be, you know, if everyone is doing the same race on the same day, sure, we've got weather conditions that are the same course, same sport. Within that though, you have someone coming from a climate that they're used to training in this type of weather. Someone else is from the opposite end. Another person, super heavy sweater. Maybe someone else, really not that heavy of a sweater. One person's going to be working at their max capacity for that race. Another person, this isn't their key race. They're not going to be going all out. Then you have the different training factors, and then you have their sweat sodium concentration. Then you have someone who doesn't tolerate high carb. Another person used to be on a keto diet and is afraid of carbs. Another person is coming in with relative energy deficit in sport. And you have so many factors that go into play. So when you think about all those components, why would we not individualize it? Like, in what world does not individualizing it help? So it's kind of like, why not start there? And really dialing in, okay, how much fluid am I losing? Great. Now we have a number to kind of quantify and a target to shoot for. And then same thing with sodium. And then how much carbohydrate can I tolerate and what can I get to? Then you have these targets to shoot for. And it's not saying I have to get exactly to the gram or to the milligram or ounce every single time. But by creating a target, it gives you something to shoot for. It gives you a range. You can give yourself buffers around those targets. And so getting in that range, that's a huge win for an athlete. And that still accomplishes the idea of having a personalized fuel and hydration plan.
Now let's talk protocols for developing that plan. You know, when people come into the lab, they want to know, like, for VO2 max testing, what do I got to do and how bad is it going to hurt? So bring that to sweat testing. What do the protocols look like, and how do you really collect the data in order to personalize the approach?
Yeah, so sweat testing is going to be broken into two components, and Precision has sweat test centers all over, and a lot of them do some combination of sweat rate or sweat sodium. The two components of that is looking at how much fluid you're losing and then how much sodium is in that fluid. So step one, which we, you know, sometimes people do on their own with training sessions at home, is looking at the sweat rate. And that's basically weighing in, weighing out pre and post a training session. And if you're drinking any fluid during that, you would factor that into the equation. And you're just seeing how much fluid you lost. There are so many different methods to kind of look at your sweat rate, but the weigh in, weigh out kind of method, that tends to be the most accurate, the most practical. That's the one that we recommend people do, because you can do it in different conditions, different environments, to see how your sweat weight rate is responding. So that just involves a workout and some scales, pretty much. The other half of the sweat testing component is going to be looking at your sweat sodium concentration. You know, there's a variety of methods out there with patches and different tests. And from what we've seen with the research is that, you know, it's hard to get a really accurate response from those patches. So we use an at-rest method, so the skin isn't contaminated from being out in the sun for a long time with a patch that could slip and move and all those factors that influence it. And so what we do is we have you sit down, we put two little electrodes and little discs of this little material on your forearm, stimulate the sweat glands with the material and some really low grade electricity, and say, okay, sweat glands, you got to work a little bit. You just sit there. You don't have to run or anything. But your sweat glands think, oh, we got to do something. And so that stimulates a bit of a sweat response on your dorsal forearm, which is a good representation of your overall sweat sodium concentration. And then we put a collector on one of the spots, passively collects the sweat, no needles involved, no jabs, no blood draws. Once the sweat is collected into those little tubes, we run that sweat sample through an analyzer that has a sensor in it that tells us the amount of sodium per liter or per 32 ounces of fluid. And then you have basically your hydration recipe. So you know, for every 32 ounces of fluid during my training and racing sessions, this is how many milligrams of sodium is the amount that I need to be applying.
Good. So, you know, you just mentioned that whatever that result is, milligrams of sodium per liter of sweat loss, that is a good way to think about kind of the concentration that you should mix your bottles with, i.e. if you sweat, you know, 1500 milligrams of sodium per liter of sweat, it's reasonable to target 1500 milligrams of sodium in each liter of fluid you're drinking when you're trying to hydrate during exercise. And Can you talk about the different ranges you see as it relates to sodium in sweat and how athletes should, can leverage these results to specifically, enhance performance to make sure they're replacing everything?
Yeah, the range that we see from sweat tests is as low as around 200 milligrams of sodium per liter, all the way up to around 2000, sometimes a little bit higher milligrams of sodium per liter. It's a pretty wide range when you think about it. The midpoint average that we see is just under 1000. So that kind of explains why, we have different hydration products and they range from 500, 1000, 1500. So it kind of covers the spectrum of what we've seen in our testing. When you're applying it, thinking about the ratio for your fluid is the main concept to focus on. So once you know what your number is and you have those results, thinking about, okay, if I have four bottles that I'm carrying with me, each bottle is, let's say it's 16 ounces per bottle, or maybe you have some that are 16, some that are 24, some that are 32, taking that total fluid amount that you're going to be carrying on the race, applying your ratio. So it becomes a math problem, honestly. It kind of takes you back to, good old math days of just doing that unit conversion and saying, okay, I have X amount of fluid, solving for the sodium relative to that fluid, applying my ratio of, let's say, 1,000 milligrams per liter, do your little multiplication, good to go. Now you know across those bottles, this is how much sodium that I want to put in. If you like to have some plain water, you can have a higher concentration of sodium in some of the other ones, or you can take some electrolyte capsules to go with the plain water. If you like to have a carbon electrolyte drink mix, you can put all those in your bottles. If there's a sodium component that you're missing there, maybe that's not the right drink for you. Great news, electrolyte capsules exist. You can supplement and bridge the gap there. And in the same way, thinking about trying to address it for all of your fluid that you're taking in, when you get to aid stations, where does that fit in the picture? If you're grabbing cups of water from the aid station, you think that, okay, you're grabbing the sports drinks that they have. You don't know if that's going to be, a product that is a super high sodium concentration. And let's say you are one of the higher salt sweaters. You need about 1500 per 32 ounces. If you're grabbing those aid station cups as your main source, and they have a super low concentration of sodium and you're drinking a lot of them, you might need something to bridge that gap to get you to your right sodium concentration. So just kind of factoring in every step of the race, whatever race and sport you're doing, where's your fluid coming in? How much sodium is in that fluid? And what can you do to make up the difference of what you're going to need?
Yeah. And one, just for a little bit of color for athletes who are listening, I know that I remember like a decade ago, the prescription as it relates to sodium consumption, it was lower than I think the consensus is now. When we test athletes in our lab, it is almost always the case that we end up increasing the concentration of sodium in the fluid they're drinking. Certainly not all of the time, but I remember when you're taking the test, like the old Ironman certified coach test, that 1,000 milligrams of sodium per liter was like the super high end and was really high. And then now, I mean, it seems like that's the norm. And it's also very similar with carbohydrate consumption. 60 grams per hour was often thought of as a good rate of consumption. Carb max was thought of as 90 grams of carbs. And now we're finding many athletes I work with, we're targeting 120 grams of carbs per hour comfortably for multiple hours in a row. One athlete recently did an Ironman and he was able to consume 140 to 150 grams, and part of this is, I think, just the way that the sports nutrition companies are they're doing a better job sort of designing the products. And that's why we certainly love partnering with Precision Fuel and Hydration, in that the products are concocted well. And when athletes come in and they test, many times it's a game changing event when we double the amount of sodium that they're consuming. So you know, just to provide context on the value of all this.
With the values, Lexi, how much do you see shifts over time, or does it stay pretty consistent with the, you know, the concentration of sodium in the sweat now that you've ran your sweat testing lab down in Atlanta for a while?
Yeah, the sweat sodium concentration is largely genetically determined, which is great news because that means that once you get tested, you're pretty much where you're going to be. It might vary, you know, a few millimoles here and there, depending on maybe your hydration status that day. If you came in super dehydrated, it can change, you know, a little bit here and there from a small millimole standpoint. But when we convert the millimoles of sodium into milligrams, practically doesn't really change the recommendation that we would give someone. So, you know, from my experience with the sweat testing, that when you test someone multiple times, you get either the exact same result or just one or two millimoles off. So it's kind of like a one and done test. And then you know your ratio, you kind of know your recipe. So understanding the genetic component of it, that makes a big difference, because then you know, okay, even though I'm sweating more or less in these conditions, at least I still know the recipe that I'm supposed to apply to it.
Yeah, that is definitely a benefit of getting a sweat test done. The concentration of sodium won't change at all. So that's great, but certainly sweat rate can change, and it perhaps, you know, when we think about taking this data and applying it, can you provide some color on, you know, how an athlete can actually fuel, or how they should fuel? Because I know you mentioned things like capsules and sports drink and gels and things like that. How do you typically recommend athletes approach fueling? You know, say for, you know, let's say a half Ironman distance, is there a benefit to consuming carbs in a certain way, or how do you typically approach that?
I think the first piece to look at is how much they're used to consuming. So if someone is used to consuming maybe, you know, 15 grams of carbs every hour, they're going to see a benefit likely from increasing that up. Whereas someone who is already used to around 75 grams per hour, you may not need to increase that if you're comfortable there. And 75 is a pretty good number for a half Ironman distance. When it comes to the type of carbohydrate that you want to use, the definite recommendation is to go for a simple carb source. So whether you like gels or chews or like a carb drink mix like we have, great if those work for you. If you have some massive aversion to gels and chews and things like that, that's okay too. You still have options. So if you need to have more of a, you know, food approach, and that tends to work better for you, or you just need to mix it up and consider the flavor fatigue aspect of a really long race, still choosing a simple carb source, that's going to be your best bet, because that's easy on your GI system. It's going to provide those quick carbs, so it's going to hit your bloodstream faster. And what you want is to, you know, give yourself quick energy. You don't want something that's going to sit there for a while before you're able to use the energy from it. So that's why things like, you know, you'll see like fruit snacks or dried fruit or gummy candy. Those are things that you'll see at races just because they are quick carbs. So learning, yes, that's piece one. And then what are you physically able to take in? If you know that by the end of a race, you know, it's a half Ironman or a full Ironman, you struggle to chew. Like maybe you cannot chew by the end of it. You're so done. We're going to strategically place gels and drink mixes towards the end then. And then when you're able to chew, we're going to choose the chewable option. So it, you know, as long as it's a simple carb source and in a gut training and in an amount that you've trained your gut to consume, you have so many options. So it kind of opens it up for an athlete to say, oh, what do I actually like? What is going to be more likely that I will actually fuel with? Because the biggest risk of, you know, fueling, especially later in the race, is that you're not going to want to fuel and not able to take that in. So whatever's going to be doable for you and get you those simple carb sources in the amount that you've trained your gut to tolerate, that's what we want to do.
Like, so do you have a, like, just a case study that comes to mind where you can kind of just paint a picture of what this looks like with somebody coming in, getting their testing done, and then, you know, developing an intervention or strategy for them?
Yeah, so one of the best case studies, I think, that we have from a fueling standpoint, is going to be from the Ironman World Championships this past year in Nice. So Leon got his carb intake to 116 grams of carbs per hour. And so that's an average. That's the data that we collected. That's his average carb intake over a full distance triathlon race. And his finishing time was just over 8 hours. So the fact that he was able to achieve that average carb intake over an 8 hour race, it was nice and hot there. And he, you know, had a great finish. He came in fifth of the male pros, and reaching that number of carbs is just a testament to say that he did not have the GI issues. He felt great with that, and he had worked prior to train his gut to tolerate that. So it's not like he went from 30 grams and jumped all the way up, but he did, you know, increase that. And I think his highest was even just a little bit above that. I think around 125, 128 grams per hour, something that he reached. And that's just a testament to gut training at its finest. And it worked for him. He had energy. He raised his energy super high that day. And I find that that's a case study that I bring up with people a lot in terms of encouraging them that, yes, this is possible. We're new in that era of science in the sense that we don't have a ton of data of people doing that. And it's being, you know, shown over and over again. But from an anecdotal standpoint, our case studies, we do see that a lot, and that's becoming more of the norm. Like Conrad said, he's got athletes that are targeting 120 an hour, and it's working really well for them. So it's kind of using that as an example for athletes who think, oh, I'm never going to get there. Oh, I don't need to do that. That's not worth it. You don't really know until you try. So with more and more cases like this, why not try and increase that a little bit?
Yeah, you bring up a good point about the importance of actually training how you're going to race and testing all of this out in training, because, you know, there's the potential to maybe train the gut or at the very least hone in on a plan that really works for you and allows you to, you know, maximize intake if that's the goal. I mean, we don't want to necessarily gorge ourselves or take in more than we actually have to, because that'll increase the risk of GI distress. But you know, there is this phenomenon recently where it does seem like with certain, you know, products or methods of delivery that athletes can take in more. And one aspect of this that I think would be interesting to talk about is, you know, it seems like there are more athletes, and we're certainly prescribing this for athletes who maybe have weak stomachs, but maybe this idea of separating electrolyte and fluids from the majority of the carbohydrates athletes are consuming. Are you seeing that, like a push to that? Or maybe can you say more about how athletes can enhance absorption by taking, you know, maybe a certain combination of fluid, electrolytes and carbs and, you know, gel, chew, or sports drink form?
Yeah, I've noticed that with the longer the race and the hotter the race, that's when a lot of times it can be beneficial to separate out your fuel strategy from your hydration electrolytes. Because, you know, practically speaking, if it's a really hot race and you're a heavy sweater, you're going to need to be drinking a good amount of fluid. So if all of your carbs or even most of your carbs are in that fluid, like in a drink, like everything's just in your bottle and you're thirsty and you need to keep hydrating, you're going to be automatically taking in a lot of carbs, and maybe you've trained for it, but, you know, taking in all those components together, it's not an easy task for your stomach, in that high ratio. And so you might be taking in more carbs than you're able to process and digest comfortably, but the right amount of fluid. And then you're starting to notice that GI discomfort from everything coming in at once. And then you pull back on the fluid, but now you're under consuming your fluid and electrolytes because you're a heavy sweater and a salty sweater. So you're kind of playing this game of how much do I decrease one without increasing the other and vice versa, to try and keep everything on track. So while having some carbohydrate in your electrolytes in your fluid, that can help absorption. Having too much relative over that long period of time in the heat, you're putting a lot of extra stress on your stomach that maybe would be better served by having your hydration in one bottle and then taking in your gel separately. So everything's kind of being spaced out a little bit just to give your stomach a rest. That becomes more of a factor the longer the race and the hotter the race, and the higher intensity, because your body is working a lot harder with the higher intensity. So having to digest everything at once, that takes energy, and it takes your body kind of sending the blood flow to that area to work on that. So if we can kind of separate it out and give yourself a little bit of a break, even if that's just for one part of the race, and maybe the first part you feel fine combining everything, but towards the latter part, you know you're going to have to drop your carb a little bit because your stomach tends to shut down by that point, but you still want to increase your fluid and sodium, you can divide it up and say, okay, during this part of the race, it's going to be more separate. And then I'm going to rely more on things like gels.
Yeah. And I think the ability to improvise a little bit is important, but athletes definitely need to understand, you know, how many carbs are in a gel, how many carbs are in a chew, what is my sodium target per liter of fluid I'm taking in. And then once that happens, it can definitely be the case that if an athlete launches a bottle or something, they can kind of improvise. And, you know, I think about Precision Fuel and Hydration. I mean, you guys make it pretty darn easy. You essentially almost force the athletes to understand what are they a heavy sweater? Are they a high sodium sweater? So, okay, if so, what product should I use? And I think there's tremendous value in that. I've definitely found that you're right. At the beginning of a race, it can be a little bit easier drinking, you know, everything in the bottle. And I love that approach for, you know, Olympic distance races. You know, certain athletes during 70.3s, they can kind of manage that by just drinking maybe sports drink. But it definitely is the case. It seems like when athletes are taking the chew, I really like the chews, the pH chews, because it gives you a different kind of method of delivery to break things up. And I've heard it described by certain people in the nutrition world that, you know, if you take a gel or a chew and it'll sit in your stomach a little bit, you know, potentially a little bit longer, and it's almost in a way more slow release than having just a bunch of sports drink with a high osmolality just going through the gut, you know, the small intestine that and your small intestine can't absorb it. And then it kind of gets into the colon, and that's where kind of GI distress can occur. But basically this just harkens back to the necessity of really experimenting just to make sure that the plan works and to, you know, ensure that it's optimal.
Yeah. And knowing that can vary of, yes, you know, maybe it's a little bit faster to have it come in through fluid, but when you put it into practice and you have the total amount of fluid, if you're not drinking very much, then that can be a great approach. But if you're drinking a ton, does the, you know, negative impact of everything coming in at once kind of start to outweigh the benefit of it coming in through a fluid aspect because of how much you're drinking? So it's, you know, there's so much nuance to play with within that area. And it just goes back to that individualized approach of, okay, thinking through the logistics of what exactly you're doing and what your experience is. That's where we all have to start.
Yeah, for sure. And then could you potentially maybe talk a little bit more about the products and maybe the different rationale behind, you know, when we think about a sports drink, for example, we think about, okay, there's sugar in it. Certainly, what is the sugar type and why does it matter? And, you know, like basically how do we maximize absorption, assuming that's the goal? And, you know, does, I know you're a dietitian for Precision Fuel and Hydration. I mean, how do you guys think about sugar types and electrolyte type?
Yeah. So we have a few different electrolyte options for athletes to choose from or combine. The packets that we have, those are the ones that do have, you know, the extra carbohydrate in them. They have a small amount of carbohydrate per packet, whereas like the tablets are just going to be your electrolytes. That's not going to have the extra carbohydrate. Sugar gets such, sugar and sodium get the worst reputation in the world. And, you know, for understandably valid reasons, but when it comes to being an athlete, those are two really important things. And they can actually make a difference. So that's why we have some sugar with the sodium in the packets and in the electrolytes that can help absorption. And it also can contribute a little bit to your fuel source. So if you have a 90 gram per hour carb target and you know you're getting, you know, 15 grams of that from the packet of electrolytes, great. Okay, now we only have to get in 75. I mean, it adds up. So it, you can work that to your advantage. So especially when you're thinking about someone who is going into a race and they're tackling kind of the pre-race strategy, you're preloading with a high carb intake, you're carb loading. You can also do that from a sodium perspective, and sodium and carbohydrates, those two work together to pull water into the body and hold on to it. So everything that, you know, you might hear about, oh, sodium makes you puffy and carbohydrates make you puffy, that's exactly what we want. So you're going to be carb loading ahead of time and you're going to be taking extra sodium. You know, we always recommend the pH 1500 strength. You can use the packets, take it the night before in the morning of your race, just to make sure you're increasing those circulating electrolytes and helping your body hold on to that glycogen and water retention that you've been accomplishing through your carbohydrate load the past couple of days. So they all kind of tie together. But using those elements to think about, okay, this is sugar and sodium at their very best, and this is exactly what I need, and kind of embracing that side of it. That's when the food beliefs and whatever an athlete's coming in with, that starts to fade away a little bit, and you say, okay, great, this is exactly what I need to race my best.
Yeah, the sodium loading concept is definitely interesting. And just to maybe get into that a little bit more, I know that, you know, oftentimes and consulting after athletes take sweat tests, we want them to preload with sodium. And I know you mentioned the 1500 packets. I mean, what concentration should, you know, most athletes be drinking? You know, when we think about, say, the night before, we want them drinking 16 ounces of fluid with, you know, how many milligrams of sodium? Should it be 750 milligrams at 16 ounces? Should it be 1500 milligrams? How much is too much, or what is generally ideal?
Yeah, the amount that we recommend the night before, 16 ounces or 500 milliliters with 750 milligrams of sodium. So if you like capsules, you can take three capsules, drink it with 16 ounces of water, and, you know, drink typical fluids that you would drink anyways, but having that extra sodium. And then the next morning, as the race is, you know, getting ready for the race, that's the exact same strategy that you do, 750 milligrams and 16 ounces of water or 500 milliliters of water.
Perfect. Good. Well, you know, this is definitely helpful for our athletes. Are there any other closing thoughts that anybody has as it relates to fueling for performance? If not, I guess I have one last question, and this kind of revolves around athletes who are not necessarily endurance athletes. You know, how important is it for them to consume electrolytes with fluid? And, you know, is it valuable for them to wake up and have, you know, oftentimes we hear, you know, chug a glass of water when you wake up. Should they say, one, if somebody's a strength athlete and they're not necessarily sweating, you know, 2 liters of sweat, like, is there still a benefit to supplementing with sodium around workouts? And is there a benefit to consuming an electrolyte drink when you wake up?
I think it depends on the person. So personally, my background is more the strength side in the powerlifting world. And there's definitely a benefit of sodium when you're going into a meet. So let's say you've done a little bit of a weight cut and you're a little bit dehydrated. Rehydrating with high sodium, that's great. It's the same puffiness that we want to accomplish to get ready for the actual competition. For like strength and recreational athletes, if they're a salty sweater, even if they're not losing a ton of sweat overall, but they tend to be a really salty sweater, absolutely can be valid to have them increase the sodium around training and competitions. I think the key there is that it's tailored around training and competitions, because that's when your body's going to need it. If you're not accumulating total sweat and sodium losses like the same way an endurance athlete might on a day-to-day basis, you'll likely get a decent amount from your food and, you know, typical daily intake. But around those key training and competition sessions, absolutely. Making sure that you're starting out hydrated and using that preloading strategy, that's, you know, important for those athletes as well.
And then just basically one last question. You know, when we wake up and we're dehydrated, is there a benefit to taking, you know, even a small amount of electrolytes? And I'm thinking about like 250. I know that pH, they have a 250 tablet, yeah. I believe.
Especially for athletes who are exercising and working out regularly, having a low dose amount, you know, during the day, that can definitely be a day-to-day drink. And, you know, a lot of times, maybe you're getting in some from food, but because of your total sweat losses are just mounting up, having that lower strength, awesome. And if you're waking up the next day, you know, after a super heavy training session, you might want to do a higher strength electrolyte because you know that you've accumulated these dehydration losses, and you want to support your recovery to make sure that you're recovering from that, you know, deficit in the same way that you would eat a big meal afterwards. It's the same concept as just putting back in what you lost.
Right. Makes sense. And certainly especially relevant when athletes are working out 2 or 3 times a day. And, you know, once in a while, athletes might be working out 4 times a day.
And it's hot outside.
Oh, yeah. It's not trivial. It's important for sure.
Absolutely.
So I guess to close, do you have any sources or ways for people to follow you or Precision Hydration?
Yeah, so Precision, we're on Instagram. Check us out on Instagram. We post some cool stuff about different races that we go and visit, different training camps and athletes that we work with. The website is precisionfuelandhydration.com. I'm Lexi. You can always email me at lexi@pfnh.com if you want to get in touch and book a video call and we can chat through your strategy. It's something that we do as just part of the team to help out athletes. And yeah, check us out. Let us know if we can help you in some way. We'd love to hear from more athletes.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hopping on, Lexi. It was great talking with you, informative. And I think that the athletes are going to enjoy this one for sure.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, everyone. Just one last note. If you are interested in getting the sodium concentration of your sweat tested and you're in the Nashville area, feel free to reach out to us at info@workingtriathlete.com and we'll schedule a time to get you into the lab for testing. If you're not in the Nashville area, definitely check Precision Fuel and Hydration's their website, where they have a list of test centers all around the world. Thanks.